in the Lord too?
Amen.
Praise God. I don't know if everybody got to watch it, but a brother John put up a testimony of a man who was captured on the group thing on WhatsApp. I'm telling you, it's a powerful testimony. And you know, I was thinking about it. It just proves predestination. It proves it. Because he never heard nobody preaching him or nothing. Jesus himself came to him and saved him and delivered him. Isn't it wonderful? And look how the Lord can get him on. He never is here preaching or nothing. Whether he's in a jail or could be anywhere, but if he's meant to come, the Lord will get him. Now that doesn't give us an excuse that we don't do our part. We know that. But isn't it all down to God? Isn't it wonderful? And some testimony. How God saved that man and brought him home, and his wife had the dream and everything, that he was coming home and that Jesus came to them and everything. It was wonderful. Praise God. It's a bit like, you know, I'm sure you heard the testimony before of the man was in the hospital and he was dying. And he seen the Lord. And he told him to get up out of his bed and shave his face and wash himself, for he was going home. God was healing him. And the Lord done it. And I tell you, God can do anything. Amen. Let's turn to Hebrews the 9th chapter 2. And let's not forget Wednesday night of prayer and Bible study. And then please keep us in prayer for Saturday night. I think I'm giving a testimony at Brother Jackie's on Saturday night. And his house group. He does a house group once a month. And just pray the Lord will have his way. And there's a good group of people coming at each time. And just pray the Lord will have his way. Amen. Let us read from verse 1 to verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 2. It's a well-known portion. Therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them? Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight for your precious word. We pray, Lord, that even though we're saved, that you'll stir our hearts again with the gospel. Lord, that you refresh your own people tonight. And Lord, we say, oh, amen, till all that's been prayed. And it's so true, Lord. Salvation is of the utmost importance for every soul. Father, this evening, even if someone would hear this message, may you speak to their hearts and touch them. And Lord, for those that do need prayer tonight, we pray that they'll receive the miracle they need. In Jesus Christ's name. Father, help us now. Bless those that's away and ready been praying, and those that's gone, and just help us that's here this evening. And those that's made an effort to come, give them a special blessing. And Lord, I pray you'll help this preacher. And Lord, give us the Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Just may be seated. Praise God. I know this is probably a gospel text and a gospel message. Nothing I can do about that. Praise God. But just trust the Lord will help us. I believe this is so important here. There's neglect. Neglect. And those that neglect, Christ's going to pay the penalty. I want you just to read something that's reading it tonight while it's sitting here. And it's really from this text as well. It's just a quotation from a great person of God from a day gone by. And they're saying about many a question they get asked, and the answer is just like that. When it comes to answering critics and skeptics, I want to be like Jesus, who said to them, if you do not believe that I am all that I say I am, then believe me for the very work's sake. I believe that if the Lord himself would return in person and do the same works today that he did when he walked this earth in person, he'd have more skeptics than he had when he was here the first time. Back then, people did not have as much worldly knowledge as they do now. But with the advancement of technology, we have for more tendency to believe in counselors as a source of all strength
rather than in God, the God
of miracles.
And Jesus in his own day had those that didn't believe. And this great person says if they come back tonight,
they wouldn't believe it either. And I believe that's the truth.
Now, not everybody, there's people that believe, but many would not believe. And they go on to say, even if he raised the dead, they wouldn't believe it. And I tell you, if you've ever read about Smith Wigglesworth, and I'm sure most people here knows about him, we've talked enough about him. And I'm sure you've read his books, and he saw 22 raised from the dead. Now you try to tell that to some people in the day, and they'll not believe it, but they claim they're Christians, and they claim they're saved. You say, well, they are. Well, that's fair enough. Well, they're unbelievers at that. But they don't believe. They don't believe that God can raise the dead. They don't believe God can do miracles today. They have a label like it's on the wee bottle and it says dilute to taste. That's what it is, dilute to taste. But we want the full word of God, the full counsel of God. And we don't want to neglect any of God's word. We want to believe the full word of God. How many believes that? There's no point standing here preaching about healing if people don't believe in it. There's no point doing it. And you say, oh, but how do you know anybody? People need healing. Just like they need seeing. And that's true what a brother Gary said. A person could be healed and fall sick again that would never save them. Salvation's of the utmost importance. But when we are saved, we can expect to be healed. We can expect to have from God what's rightfully ours if we believe it. The three words in this here statement here, escape, neglect, and salvation. That's the three words I want to talk about tonight. And we live in a world or society today, and the society we live in is full of escapisms. Some people have a form of escape by watching television. Some people have a form of escape through drugs. Some people have a form of escape through listening to music and earphones in and you can't talk to them. They'll not hear you. You ever notice that people's out for a run or a walk or they go to a gym and you can't talk to them because of earphones in and it's a form of escapism. But our form of escapism should be in the Lord.
Amen.
We should have a form of escape for we close everything away. And our form of escape should be the Lord. Our form of escape, you know, shouldn't be any of these other things. They're there. There's nothing we can do with many of them. But our form of escapism is with the Lord Jesus Christ. For we close all out and we listen to the Lord.
Amen.
Listen to the word of God.
Amen.
Many in the day, drugs, alcohol, all sorts of forms of escapism. Many people try to escape calling on God. They hear the gospel is preached faithfully. The gospel is proclaimed, but they still reject it. What's going to happen for the people that has heard the gospel? Now we can emphasize about going, and we believe that, but what about the people that do go? What about the people that do hear? What about the men and women that's heard it and heard it and heard it, but they won't accept it?
That's right.
There's a judgment day coming for them. I'm telling you, it's going to be a terrible thing on the day of God's wrath for them that's heard it and done nothing about it. Now, we as believers have a onus on us, if you like. Perry Green said, to whom much is given, much is expected. And we that believe what we call the message, we believe what God's done in this last day, there's an onus on us. Because we're saying we know more. We are saying that, aren't we? Let's be honest about it. We're saying we know more in the way of revelation. We're saying we know more in the way of what God's revealed. And we say it openly and we say it boldly. Well, whom much is given, much is expected. God's going to know what we have done with our talents. How we've used it. What we've done with it. And I tell you, there's many today that does do it. But we need to do all for the Lord. There's no point saying after it's over or when we're too old or it's too late. I wish, won't do. God wants us to serve Him today. Just like this scripture says, how shall we escape if we neglect the great salvation? The Word of God calls it great. But no greater price could be paid. You know, maybe some that could be listening in and hear this message, they could be doing it. Their consciences could be bothering them over the sins they've committed in all the state of their very heart. But instead of facing their conscience and admitting their sin, they dance the issue. And you blame others. And I know a wee man, and you can't talk to him, because every time you talk to them, oh, it's she or he or her or somebody else, it's always an excuse. But one day, not so long ago, a man said to him, he cornered him. And he said, God will never ask you about any of them that you've mentioned. God will ask you, what have you personally done with Jesus? What have you done with him?
Amen.
If you neglect, oh, but so-and-so, he never asked you.
Amen.
He'll ask you what you've done with Jesus. I tell you, he went away quietly. And there was no more talk of any description for the rest of the day. His heart was pricked. And it was a soft answer. The man's not a preacher or nothing. He's not even would be classed as much of a fiery Christian at all. But he is a believer in the Lord. And he just put it to them. And what answer could a man answer? People in the day say, well, I wouldn't be a Christian because of what he done or she done. Hear it all the time. God will never ask them. They'll never stand judgment for you or me. They will give an account for what they've done. What have they done with Jesus? Now, it's an onus is on me and you to witness. We're not called to light our candle and hide it under a bushel, the Word of God says.
Right. Amen.
We're called to light our candle and let it shine.
Glory.
So that the world can see it.
Right.
We don't want to be Christians that lock Jesus in a box and let him out on the Sunday. Lock them back up on Sunday evening. And you never know we're Christians till next Sunday.
Amen.
We want to live for the Lord every day.
Amen.
Our text says, how shall we escape? Adam and Eve tried to blame others to escape the guilt of their sin. It didn't work. God held them responsible. They're the ones. And the Bible goes further. The Bible says, for all die in Adam. It was his fault. Even though the serpent deceived him and all, the Bible says, sin came by Adam. He knew what he was doing. Thank God for the sack on Adam. And the Lord from heaven. For as we bear the image of the earth, we shall bear the image of the heaven. Thank God for life. They died spiritually, physically, because they couldn't escape the judgment. Romans 3:23 says, for the wages of sin's death. I tell you, it's not some payment. You know, some of the early writers, when they translate this, the wages of sin's death, they say it's a prepared cooked meal. Wages. Cooked up. Death. I tell you, it's a terrible thing, isn't it? I don't know, I'm sure there's some of these brothers that's older than me or some of the rest of you ever heard the testimony of Morris Sorello. And you ever heard the testimony of Morris Sorello? He was in an orphanage. And he had a vision. And he saw God showed him, I don't know all the details, but I know that God showed him. And he looked down, he saw two footprints in the cloud. And he looked down through them and he saw straight into hell. And he saw the people suffering and weeping and wailing. And he saw that the voice said, Morris, step into the two footprints. And Morris stepped into the two footprints. And he says, his feet matched the two holes. And they covered them. said, I've called you so that people will not go to hell.
Yeah,
isn't that something? Now you can argue it, do what you want with it, but I'm not going to, because I believe it.
Amen.
And I believe that man seen people saved. You and me mightn't agree with every little thing he believed, that will make no difference to me or you. He done what God called him to do. That's the thing about it. We need to do what God is calling us to. I believe God's speaking to this fellowship. Is every one of us with our heart in our heart doing what God's called us to do? Well, if only, someday it'll be too late, and if only it'll be too gone. Now's the time.
Now's the day of salvation.
Oh, but if I had more time, you need to make time.
The Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil.
We need to make time for God. And if we haven't time for God, we need to get rid of something that's using our time. And I want to say boldly from this pulpit tonight, and I'm serious, you can't leave it for another week. You need to get rid of it. Whatever's taking your time up. If it's taking up the time you need to spend with God, get rid of it.
And you need time for God.
You say, but I'm not a preacher, I'm just a Christian. It makes no difference. You still need time for God. It's the people that's maybe not preachers, but they can pray for the preacher. They need to spend time in prayer. Preacher's easy to blame him. You can blame him for everything. You can blame him for the whole lot. Well, it's not working because he didn't do this. And he will come all through too. Maybe he didn't do enough. But God's not going to ask you about him. He's going to ask you, what are you doing? What are you doing for the Lord? Neglect. Death is separation from God. There's a place called hell that no man or woman ever wants to go to. It's a terrible place. Maybe we don't preach enough about hell. We preach about heaven. We preach about the love of God. We're actually living in a generation that they don't preach much about repentance. It's all about God's love. It's all about prosperity. That's your modern preacher. But the Bible speaks more of hell than it speaks of heaven. And I tell you, hell is real. If ever we could get a glimpse of hell, maybe it would stir us. Maybe it would move us. I tell you, God's people can become lethargic, if that's the right word. And God has to waken us up. And even as ministers and even as a preacher, God can waken you up. He's different ways to shake you. He's different ways to move you. Because I'll tell you, and like I have preached over this last two services, if God has a work for you, don't you go down the road of believing, well, I'll tell you what, I will lie back. Somebody else will do it. No. If you're called to do it, you're going to do it. And you can do it the easy way or the hard way. It's just up to yourself. But if God's predestined, you're going to do it. You are going to do it. I can tell you that now. Revelation 6:12 to Simon, and this is about the sixth seal. And the sixth seal is all about the tribulation. And we as believers should be reading the message God sent. We should be learning. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. A minister that rightly divideth the word of God. We should be reading the word of God. We should be in prayer. Every Christian should read his Bible.
Amen.
Every Christian should spend time praying. And if we believe God did send a message, we should be reading it. Or listening to it. So many, well, I never heard that. Well, then you must never listen to it. Why not? I don't need to. Well, then God signed it in vain. Now, that's ridiculous to think that. If God does something, it's for a purpose. If God does something, it's for a reason. first great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of her, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and the islands were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, and the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now we talk about the mercy of the Lamb, but what about the wrath of the Lamb? What about it? Nobody wants to talk about it. But it's here. It's in the Bible. The wrath of the Lamb. I tell you, it's a terrible thing that people's going to face it. For the great day of this wrath is coming, who shall be able to stand? Now remember, Jesus preached the sixth seal. In Matthew 24, verse 29, in Exodus 10, 21 to 23, and Daniel 12, 1 to 10. So if you think the seals is not in the Bible, they're wrong. They're all through this book. We know that. Jesus preached them. He never mentioned the silent, but he preached the six. How many knows that? Now let me read you this for a moment tonight. We're all believers, and I want you to hear this. The terrible day of tribulation is coming. We know that. It's coming. Let's not kid ourselves. We talk about the rapture. We talk about the catching up. And it's all true. But there's a day of tribulation coming. And I tell you, only those that's ready is going on the rapture. If somebody says to you, how can I be ready? You should be fit to answer that straight away. You need the seal of God. What's the seal of God? The Holy Spirit. Now you can put the rest all out, what you need to believe and all the rest of it, but that's your fundamental facts. The Holy Spirit's a seal. You believe that tonight?
Amen.
That's the seal of God. And the Bible says you're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. That means you cannot be lost. I tell you, I think that's wonderful. And let me read you this from the expository of the Church Ages. Harvest time. The two vines that grew together are intertwined. Their branches are now to be separated. The fruits of these vines, which were at such variances, will be gathered into the separate garners. The two spirits will go to the separate destinations. Now it is time to heed the final call that comes only to the wheat bride. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye wheat receive not her terrors, plagues, the great tribulation, the sixth seal in Matthew 24, the last warning of the Spirit, Revelation 3:22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. People are praying, saying, Lord, will you speak through the Spirit to the churches? God saying, do you need the earphones took off? I have spoken clear to the churches. That's what God will tell you. Do you believe that tonight? Now we're not saying God's not still speaking. He is. But God had already spoken to the silent churches. And his bride through every church age. Not just in the last. Some people sort of put it over that there's only bride in the last age. Well, we know that's not the Bible. There's bride in every age. Amen? Isn't it absolutely amazing that Luther came out really dogmatic on predestination? So much so he was extreme, and Wesley came the opposite way. Did you ever notice that? Two opposites. And William Branham said the truth's in the middle. Because they're both extreme. But God had to go extreme with it. To get them in. Now you might not understand it, but I know what I'm talking about. It's the same of preaching. You can preach sometimes a bit extreme. And the preacher knows exactly what he's doing. He's doing it deliberately. And he knows he's doing it. But it's to get a response. And God lets it happen. Now I'm not saying you do something false. I'm not talking about that. But you know, Luther was extreme to one side. They almost got to the stage they could do whatever they wanted. And they were saved. But then Wesley came along with sanctification. And he preached, if you don't live right and clean, you're lost. But they were both messengers. And there was bride in both them ages. Isn't that wonderful? See, God makes no mistakes. Now listen to this. The throne room has been set up. The 12 foundations have been laid. The streets of gold have been paved. The gates of gigantic pearls are raised and hinged. Like a pyramid she stands, so fair and glorious. The heavenly beings who have prepared her watched breathlessly, for she glistens and shines with the glory that is unearthly. Every facet of her beauty tells a story of amazing grace, of Jesus' love. She is a city prepared for prepared people. She awaits only for her inhabitants, and soon they will throng her streets with joy. Yes, it is the last call. The Spirit will not speak in another age. The ages are over, but thank God at this moment, this age is not over. Some people stop before they read it all. And they say, it's over, but when you read on, thank God this age is not over. God's still calling. Amen. The Spirit will not speak. The ages are over, but thank God at this moment, this age is not over. He is yet crying, and his cry is not only to the spiritual ears of men by the Spirit, but once again a prophet in the land. Once more God will reveal the truth as he did to Paul in the days of the Sabbath messenger, in the days of Laodicea. Its messenger will reveal the message of God as revealed to Paul. He will speak out, and those who receive that prophet in his own name will receive the benefit of a prophet's reward. Now you can't take that out of the Bible. Because it's in it. We are living in the last days. God has done a mighty thing. We might complain, not enough's happening. I would agree with you. But what are we going to do about it? Answer me that. I'll tell you. Now here's the thing a man said to me, and it's true. He said, all these men write books on revival. Brother Brian Freeborn said this. All these men write books on revivals of the past, but they have no prescription to produce another one. But they write great books about revivals. But they have no prescription for produce another one. They can't do it. Because it's God that sends revival.
Amen.
And you know the blueprint. You should know the blueprint for every revival that's ever happened. Men began to pray. Prayer. Prayer is a secret. Prayer is a secret. Greater preaching is not the secret. Greater orders is not the secret. We need greater prayer warriors. That's the secret. When men and women pray, the Spirit and the bride say, come. The corn of wheat, the bride wheat that fell into the ground at Laodicea has come back to the original word grain again. Praise God forever. Yes, listen to the authenticated prophet of God. Appears in the last days what he says from God. The bride will say. The bride will not be afraid to say what God's voice has said. The bride won't be afraid to say what she believes the Spirit has said. Now forget about all the wee tales here and there. That's nonsense. I'm not talking about any of that. We're talking about the real thing. You could waste your lifetime fixing all that's round, couldn't you? There's so much nonsense, I wouldn't even get started on it. But there's enough good. We can get started in it. Amen? This is to bring us back to the original apostolic faith. So that we would present the original gospel. Which is the real gospel. And you and me believe with all of our hearts, don't we, that the early church had that original gospel. They absolutely had it. Now maybe we're not, for we should be. But I'm not going to be like Leonard Ravenhill. And if you've ever heard Leonard Ravenhill, and you hear him preaching, God bless Leonard Ravenhill. But Leonard Ravenhill is a man that criticizes everything, but there's never an answer. You ask Andrew Beecham and he'll tell you. the same as I'm telling you. He criticizes and everything's dead and everything's bad and everything's this and that, but he does never gives a prescription to fix it. But I believe God sent a message in the last day, gives a prescription to fix it. That we turn our hearts back to this true word. Back to the original apostolic faith. And practice the way it was practiced at the start, and preach it the way it was preached at the start, and believe it. And God will do it. See, we're not obligated to produce a miracle. That's God that does that. But we have to believe it. We have to believe God. God doesn't want us to have unbelief. God wants us to have faith. God wants us to believe Him. God wants us to act in faith. God wants us to be able to say amen to the word of God, which means so be it. That's what God wants. But many of the day won't heed the call. I want to tell you a fatal story, and I know I've shared this story before, but I'm going to share it again. There's a fatal story. In the year 1900, there was once a connection between the island of Galveston and the mainland of Texas by an iron bridge. On a fatal day in the year 1900, the United States government sent a warning after warning to the citizens of the city that a terrible hurricane was coming their way and that they should escape for their lives over the iron bridge to the mainland. It was a causeway where the trains and vehicles could go safely. But the citizens of the city looked at the blue sky and the quiet of the sea and heeded not the warnings and a false peace and went to bed. And they fell asleep, and in the dark and the terror of the fateful night, the gentle breeze turned into wind, and the wind turned into a hurricane, and the hurricane turned into a torrential rain, and the torrential rain turned into a fatal wave, and the tidal wave went over the island, destroying the bridge like a match stamp. And when the way of hope and escape is spurned, there remains no other avenue of salvation. Nothing remains but judgment and death. And this city was warned over the radio. And warned and warned and told, but they said, it looks good. It's fair weather. Just like the man or woman that hears the gospel preached. And they say, not tonight, another time. Just like when Paul preached to them, Paul, I'll call on you at some more convenient season. We're praying for our loved ones, but I'll tell you, one day the judgment's coming. Now that should make us be more earnest in prayer. Shouldn't it? We shouldn't have time to fuss about. We shouldn't have so caught up with the burden to pray for them.
Amen.
And take every opportunity to try and get them to the Lord. And live a life before them that's worthy of the gospel. So that they don't look at us and say, them boys is a bunch of hypocrites. You want them to look at you and say, did anybody ever look at you and say, like they said to William Branham, the man said the trouble with William Branham, they said it was like being with Jesus. That's some statement, isn't it? It was like being with the Lord. And he knew people that did things that wasn't right, but you didn't hear him condemning them. You know, even about the woman that had the trousers on. And her womb dropped. She's a very young woman. You've ever heard the testimony? And her husband got saved. And she got saved. And she put these trousers on specially when William Branham came and laughed on her. But one day, her husband come home. God healed her. And the prophet took her husband to the side and he told her everything what was wrong with her. And he said, God's going to heal her. And God healed her. Even though she was doing that. And one day her husband came home and he said it. He couldn't understand why the fire was going. It was a hot day. And he came in and he wanted to know what she's doing, lighting the fire. And she said, I'm burning my slacks, they call them in America.
She never worried him again. But that was God. That was God. It wasn't that her husband to, you know, give her a real book. She seen God. She seen something real. And we want to be living so close to the Lord that we can expect something that's real. So that perhaps God might use one of us. And somebody can get touched and someone would take place and they'd say, that's God. And I tell you, a miracle will speak louder than a thousand words.
Amen.
These people here were sleeping. And they woke up, it was too late. Hebrews 10:26-31 says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. How many remembers when Brian Freeborn explained this verse 27? I must be only one then.
Well, he did, and he explained it in that schoolhouse round the road, or the orange hall round the road there.
And he brought the cross into it. And he said, when they say the cross is not enough. And there's people doing that today. They're saying the cross is not enough. Anybody that puts anything, anything in front of the cross to be seen, they're saying the cross is not enough.
Now, I'm not going to explain it tonight.
But I believe it. Look at this. I'm rushing because I don't want to keep this long. Neglect. How shall we escape of a neglect? Hebrews 2 and 3. There's many things we have neglected. Now, I'm preaching to you tonight. I know I'm. But this is for me as well as you. God has a provided way to bring you to salvation. One thing is reading the Bible every day. It can be neglected. That's a thing all of us can neglect. Now I know it's good to read the message God sent. I believe that with all my heart. But your first thing is to read your Bible before anything. You need to read the Bible. There's nothing can substitute you reading the Bible. And if you believe the message God sent, you'll want to read the Bible. Because that prophet continually says, check it with the word. And he means the Bible. Search the scriptures, they said in the days of Jesus. Search them. Then the Bible says, a minister must be a minister that rightly divideth the word of God. He must study the word of God. Now, it doesn't say study Shakespeare or study somebody else. It says study the Word of God. He must rightly divide the Word of God. What do you want to be fed on? The Word of God.
Amen.
It's the job of a preacher to feed you the Word of God. Quotes and all is good, statements and all is good, but the ultimate is to feed the Word of God.
Amen.
They're only there to bring you back to this. They're not a substitute for this. This book is the Word of God.
Yeah,
this is the book we need to feed on. We need to not neglect the reading of the Word of God. You say, brother, I haven't time to read it. All right, I have a cure for you. Listen to it. I've been in that position. I remember when I worked a lot. Big hours, I haven't got the time. So it took me, say it took me 40 minutes to get to work. That's 40 minutes reading that I can listen. I'd get a tape or DVD. There's all this stuff out there today and nobody's an excuse. We have all the internet and phones and everything. All these days, all the rubbish is there.
Right.
What about the good?
Amen.
We can use it for the good.
Right.
The Bible's on it. The messages of the prophets on it. We can listen it. If we haven't got little time to stop, we can listen the Word of God. Listen it in your work. I know people and you can't never talk to them because there's the plugs in all the time. They're listening, what the old boy used to say, the boogly-woogly. You know,
I'll never forget the fellow's face as long as I live. Now, if you know me, I've got all the tapes of Jack Cole. It's really a miracle how I got them, but I got them. I hadn't any, and then a fellow one day said, I can get you them, and I said, well, you better get me them, and he got me them. And I had all the tapes of Jack Cole. And I used to have a wee, you know, mind them wee machines. We don't have them now, probably don't need them. We've moved on to greater tech and walk. That's it, brother. I had a Walkman, and I had Jack Cole on. I was doing the joinery work, and I had a Jack Cole on, and here I was listening Detours on the Way to Hell. And you know Cole could preach. But there's a fellow in that job, and he was big for Queen. Now, if you know anything about Queen, you don't need me to say no more, only that he wore a pink shirt. That'll tell you all the best. You know what I mean by that without saying any more. But he was big for Queen, so when he went on his lunch break, and I tried to preach and witness to him, but he had no time for it. So I said, I'll fix you boy. So when he went on his lunch break, I switched Queen for Jack Cole. And he came out from his break. He was a joiner, got his tools on, and he got his fags lit, and he could all set up. And I knew it wouldn't be long, they'd hit the button for Queen. And I had her sat right just at the hot spot, for he was preaching it hard. And Jetco said, if you can pass by this last eater, there's no hope for you. And he says, this last eater's Jesus Christ on the cross. And it sat right on. And he put it on, and he hit the puck. And I just love you to sing it. And boy, he was cross. And he knew it was me. He didn't need nobody to tell him. And he come looking for me. And you know, at the end of it, he actually listened a bit of it. He did actually listen to a bit of it. I'll not tell you what he done with me after that. But at least he got to hear it. We need to take every chance. Every chance for the Lord. I tell you, the world does it. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should never be ashamed to say, I love you, Lord Jesus, with all my heart. I'm proud to say I'm a Christian. A Christian. Now, when we say we're Christians, we're followers of the Lamb. A lot of people say they're Christians today, don't they? But they say that because they go to church or they do something. That's good. But we're born again Christians. Neglect. Let's not neglect the Word of God. Let's read the Word of God. You know, I like the Bibles. I just love Bibles. I like to keep a Bible. You know, if you have a car or if you have someone for work, keep a Bible in it. Even if it's a small one that you can take it with you. Keep the Word of God close. This is a sword. Keep it close, because if you take an urge or a feeling comes on you, that maybe you should look at the Scripture, God can maybe speak to you. And I believe the Word, the Jews used to tie it on, didn't they? They word it on them. And I think that's good, isn't it? Praise God. 2 Peter 1:19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time of the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, this is God's infallible word. And I'm going to close. And when I say closers, a brother wants prayer, there might be others. I want to give an opportunity for that. Maybe this is more, maybe for the unsaved, a lot of this message. But I trust the Lord spoke to you. Let me read you Psalms 19:7, and then I'm going to close. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I tell you, our God's good. Our God is good. Or Roberts used to say it, God is a good God. God is a good God. He was really the man that saying became famous. Paul Roberts was the man that said that a lot. Our God is a good God. And he is a good God. Have you ever seen the film of Oral Roberts for the wee boy? You know, Oral Roberts was healed himself from tuberculosis. And there's a wee film made. And there's a wee fella, David, isn't that right? David, and he comes and he sees his family. God healed him, David. And David's dad and mum got saved. I tell you, God can do anything. The only way we're going to see God's moving is when we get sincere with God. And when we have a place of escape. Every one of us need a place of escape where we can meet the Lord. Time for we can close away. You could do it while you're doing something else. Do you know what I'm saying? If you were ever into music, music never really took a hold of me. Smoking never took a hold of me. I thank God for all that. All the things maybe did. But I had a friend and smoking really got a hold of him. And he was addicted to it, but God delivered him from it. But I want to be addicted to the Lord. I want him to take a hold of me. That I'm addicted to it. That I can't get enough of this God that we serve. Let's stand our feet tonight. Maybe in the musician will just play something softly. I'm just going to pray and then I'm going to ask the brother to come and wash down the brother. John to come and anoint with oil. And anyone else wants anointed with oil tonight and pray for. The Bible says call the elders of the church. My dad wants to come up as well and pray for a brother. If anyone else here wants prayer, you come tonight. You believe God. Expect God to do something for you. You say, but it's only Brother John, it's only Brother Billy, it's only Brother Tom. Yes, but the Bible says, if the elders of the church anoint with oil, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will heal them. It's God's word. We're acting on the word of God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you tonight that you're a God of miracles. The unchanging God. The unlimited supply, the unlimited source. Oh Lord, there's no one like you. Father, we just humbly come before you. We humbly pray you'll move in this house tonight. We humbly pray the Spirit of God will move amongst us this evening. Lord, as people's prayed for that they'll get a touch from heaven. You'll meet their every need. Father, have thy way, I pray. Help us, Lord, to do what we preach tonight. Help me to do it, Lord. Grant us the grace we need to serve you, Lord, in these evil times. Help us to reach the lost. Help us to be a shining light in this perverse age. Lord, we know all the things you've done. We believe them tonight. We just ask that the Holy Spirit will come in a very special way. Lord, that we might know a sense of your presence this evening in this house. We bind every work of the enemy. We ask the Spirit of God to spoil his goods. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You can just be in an attitude of prayer as a brother comes. If anyone else wants to come as well.